Yeah, sister. So yeah, sister Zashi, and she. So she has her. So she has her main assignment, and her. You know, her assignment so she can get the extra stars or whatever it is. Anyone else? Sister Rhonda too. Like as soon as you said it, Sister Rhonda. Like, all right, homework done. Put the pencils down. Like she did it like 10 minutes after you said it. Yeah. So
Lemonade.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. All right, so Sister Rhonda, Brother George, hold on for a second. So, brothers and sisters, I want to welcome you to this week's Black Wallets Matter members meeting. We are going to skip the formality because we are all brothers and sisters here. And so, again, like I said, Brother George, we're following up. This is actually part three of his engagement series, which is designed for us to get some cultural collectivity, organizational cohesion, also for us to bond with one another, become more familiar with one another so that we can work with one another to make great strides in this organization. So, Brother George, you can take it away.
Peace, everybody. I hope you can hear me okay. I'm on my, I'm in route.
Yeah, everyone can.
Okay, great. All right, so yeah, we had a really dynamic engagement series, and I've just learned so much in this process and how we're thinking and looking and approaching things. We've had some really unique perspectives in terms of how we see ourselves, how we define African-American, how we define Black. We focused a lot on some of our realities, of our experiences in those categories of identity. We've also kind of discovered that there's no sense of collectivity in terms of who we are. And so I think that to make this a worthwhile process for the end goal is to consciously decide how we're going to represent ourselves culturally and organizationally. And I think culturally has to be first in order to represent organizationally effectively. Because basically what we want to do is we're leading a movement of economic collaboration in a community that is really struggling with doing that. We say buy Black, we say support Black, but then there's all these things that get in our way that prevent us from doing it in a consistent and collective method. So I'm tasking us with the goal of redefining those qualities in a way of Black. Who was the sister last week that broke it down and just said we Black anyway? And I can't remember who that was.
Sister Constance.
Yeah, she broke it down. And so as a result, it's pretty much we're going to go with the word Black. We have to really make Black inspirational. We got to make Black motivational so that when we approach people with, hey, we're trying to expand our membership. We're wanting your monthly commitment, membership commitment. We want to do it in a way where people are just moved by that concept, by the name, by what it represents, in a way that is different than what's happened in the past. Now that's a big task, but you know, and we're pushing against history, but I think we have the mindset, the motivation. If we're going to really make Black Wallets Matter relevant to our community, we have to develop that new version of who we are to represent to those that we're trying to serve. So with that, I'll open it up, and let's start taking a round of the homework assignment and start this exploration.
Okay, give me a second. Sister Mai and Brother Leonard are visiting the family, so they're listening, but they can't really participate. So I'm going to read off the sisters. Okay, well, we got Brother Vaughn, so good. So I can find Sister Mai's comments. Sister Rhonda, you had, I know you had comments as well. So, Brother Vaughn, so Brother George,
yes, sir.
Okay, cool. So, do you want to recap what the question was? Because I'm sure there are going to be some people here who probably didn't get a chance to or didn't remember. So from what I remember, it was you asked for 10. You asked for about 10. What were the 10 traits that you would like to get? You're right. I wrote five in the interview.
Yeah, five to 10. That's good. 5 to 10 traits that we would propose to start the redefinition of black.
I'm sorry, say that again. You said what? What was it again?
To redefine black, the way that you outlined it in your email.
Okay, right. Okay, so it was 10 characteristics that we would like to see in other members, and then five.
Right.
Okay, right, and then about five right. characteristics that that we would like to.
Right.
Okay. All right, Brother Vaughn, your mic is hot, brother. Brother Vaughn? I don't know, maybe his call, well, he didn't drop. Brother, unmute your phone or something like that. Brother George, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. I don't know what's going on with Brother Vaughn.
Hello?
Okay, I see you. Yep, peace, brother.
Say what?
I said your mic is live, brother. Yep.
You can hear me now?
Yep.
Sure can, brother.
Okay. As far as the 10 traits, as far as the members, a member of the join, I got trendsetter. I think that's important because we want to be leaders in this thing. So we want people who willing to, you know, put forth something different that we can look at and like you say, we're trying to make things change. We're trying to make the look change, and we're trying to make it be something different. So we need trendsetters. I got strength. That's because we don't need to be strong in this. You know, like I said before, we have the starting point, and it ain't even got hard. Like we haven't even seen hard yet. So you have to be strong. Understanding, and I think that's something that we all got as far as who we are right now, that being these calls and stuff like that. Like it's a lot of understanding in the people that are dealing with these calls, because without it, it'd be a lot of back and forth and hoorah that's uneasy and stuff like that. I got leader. I feel like you got to be able to lead, and the way you put this whole thing down is it's not on your shoulders, it's on our shoulders. So we all have to be leaders. We all have to be able to take the reins and step up and not be bashful because it's 2,000 of us. Nah, everybody's ready to speak up and got to be like, hold on, wait, let him go first. You know what I mean? We have to be more of a leader, take a leader position than to fall back. I got fearless, and that's because we're gonna come up. It's gonna be opposition to what we doing, and it's gonna be people that's gonna want to try to scare us into not doing what we're trying to do, and that's what they use, and that's their biggest tactic to stop us as a people from trying to come together and organize and do all that. It's fear. So we got to be fearless in this thing that we're doing because it's coming. I have enduring. I say that because just like in the first year, it was kind of rough. You know what I mean? Things not happening like they should have, and not being able to do what we want to do when we want to, and having to, you know, really grind for it. Like, you gotta be enduring because it's gonna be a long haul. It's a nice road we're gonna have to take, and we're gonna have to be able to stay the course. Knowledgeable. That speaks for itself. Like, we can't be out here stupid. I got level headed, and that's because, and I'm talking to myself more than everybody else. Like, you know, we from all over, and I'm sure everybody that had they back and forth. But I got a high head, and I know I do in certain situations, especially when I'm serious about the situation. So we gotta make sure we keep level heads in these situations, because, you know, they gonna come about. And sometimes it's better to take the high ground and stay level headed and move on from it than to go where I people can go. I'll say that. Open minded, and I say that because it's gonna be a lot of stuff that people may not know or may not have ever done or don't have any experience on, and it might be something that somebody been doing all their life, and for them it's working, and it works in a great way. So we got to be open-minded to, like, different. We got to be open-minded to change. We got to be open-minded to things switching up on us. And then I put a couple other ones, soulful, and that's just because, you know, it keeps us connected. It keeps us, that vibe going on amongst us as a whole, like, where we as one, and witty. I just say that because it sometimes you might come up against something that is right here, right now. You got to be on your P's and Q's. You can't be, it ain't a good look. So. You got to be kind of witty about things. Ain't that?
Right.
And that was, those were the traits that I had.
Hey, bro, virtual high five, bro. You
yes,
killed
sir.
It.
You yes, killed sir. It. Very, very
inspirational. I wrote one of those poems, so I'm going to get back on before we all done and I say it. So y'all can check it out.
Okay. All right. We want that.
All right. So Sister Mai has her so these are the traits for the members. And then, now let me ask you, brother, did you also do your traits that in regards to defining what it means to be black? Because I'm not going to lie, some of the stuff that you said, man, struck me to my core, like you're saying, you know, you got to be soulful and things like that. That sounds about right to me, bro.
Yeah.
Right. So it was kind of like in those 10, I got those 5 because I put the same thing on really the 5 is basically in that 10. So it would have came out, you know, those same words.
Okay, cool. Excellent. All right, so this is thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
No doubt.
So these are the words from Sister Ma. So trait number 1 she would like to see is love of self and love of our people. Number 2, she would like to see a commitment to making a demonstrative difference in the cultural collectivity of black people, a.k.a. working together well for the common goal of the betterment of our race. Number 3, she wants people that focus on spending their money with black establishments, vendors, and entrepreneurs. Hold on, wait. You all right over there, Brother George?
Oh, yeah, brother. Right. I'm good.
Okay. Number 4, she wants people to prove their willingness to act and participate in building Black Wallets Matter, specifically putting their differences aside. Number 5, she wants people to be committed to building and leaving tangible legacies for the next 1 or 2 generations. Number 6, She wants prospective members to be outspoken in defense of the general misperceptions, negative stereotypes, and emasculation of black people, especially black men. Number seven, she wants members, prospective members, to be respectfully listen to all other members' input with an open mind. Number eight, she wants prospective members to always have a willingness to learn and grow. Number nine, actively and consistently try to recruit new members into Black Wallets Matter. And number 10, she wants prospective members to educate every young person within their personal reach, regardless of the youth's race, about at least one positive fact about Black Americans' inventions, contributions to this society. And her character, her definition of black, hold on for a second. What did I do? Okay, so, and her suggestions for five positive traits we can use to redefine what it means to be black. One, intellect or intelligence. Two, creativity. Three, resilience. Four, talent. And five, humor. So those are her characteristics or positive traits she would like to see us adopt for the new definition of black. And here she is. Hold on for a second. Yes, sister. Did I make you sound bad?
No. I just wanted to mention humor. The reason I said humor and thinking about traits that we currently possess as people and just trying to think of, I think that that is a positive thing because black people just love to laugh. And it's one of the things that I often criticize about us personally when it comes to our seemingly strong or insatiable desire to laugh or just be entertained all the time and not really think. Like I call it television, I don't really watch TV, I call it an idiot box. And it seems like, most of us really don't want to get into politics or, just learn about what's really going on and have debates over that. They'd rather laugh. But, in thinking about it, I also realized that, a merry heart does good like a medicine, and it is actually good to laugh. And a lot of us like to laugh because of all the stress that we have. And I just think that that is because we sort of do it naturally. We have a sarcasm or something kind of runs in our veins, and we just like, run in the dozens. And, that's just something that I think that is, it can be celebrated and considered a positive thing because it is kind of uniquely us. Like, we really do like to have a good time, and I think we can just consider that a positive trait and characteristic so that we can always, remember that even though we're building and we're doing something very serious and we're trying to change the narrative about who we are, we also need to have fun. Just remember to laugh and enjoy each other and, enjoy the journey because it is going to be a journey. And I do appreciate what Brother Vaughn said and realize that we need to be fearless because it's coming. It is going to be a lot of hard times ahead. But along with that resilience and the other things that I mentioned that are traits of ours, I think if we should also just be mindful to celebrate each other and to just laugh. And I think it makes this, bearing hard times a little easier. So that I'll just,
okay.
Just
right,
to explain that part.
Thanks. No, all right. I get it. Yeah, you laugh so that you don't cry. That's, that's what they say. So, excuse me. Thank you so much. Okay, next we have Sister Rhonda.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Okay. The first things I would like to see as far as the group is concerned is communication between all members, whether it be good or bad. Decision making amongst our members, because we have a lot of intelligent members. Not taking away any leadership away from you, Brother Lou, but I think we have enough intellect in the group to come to you and say, do you think we should do this, or how do you think that would fit, or whatever, and be able to accept what you give without being, oh, well, he don't like what I said. I'm not going to da 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 da. The next one is participation. Having balanced participation, letting everyone be able to express themselves without, you know, shunning anyone off. Next one I had was to value diversity within our blackness. Sometimes we lose the bigger picture about, well, you know, she's black or he's black, but he's not from around the corner where I'm from. So we have to value that in order to come to a decision, whatever amicable decision we're going to make for the betterment of Black Wallace Matter. Conflict. We have to manage conflict in order to keep our common goals. And just have a positive attitude, which would bring about a climate where we're comfortable with each other and aren't afraid to take risks. Because like Brother Lou said, this is new. This is new to everybody. This is new to myself. And I think it's a wonderful thing, all because we're on a virtual setting. And that gives us an advantage because we're not able to look at someone and say, oh, I see how they're looking at me. They don't like me. We have to come with an open hope when we deliver whatever we deliver. Cooperative relationships. The team wants to work together for the good of the team. I may not like something that someone else said, but if it's going to better the team, I got to go with it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. And like the brother said, he said, but I put it like this. I said participative leadership. And that is just leadership is meaning that it's shared amongst all membership, all the members. That's my 10 for that. And my 5 is open to experience new things, which I guess that fell under the other thing I said. And the next one was conscientiousness. And when a person is conscientious, they will automatically think of that other person without having been, you know, you have a strong sense of duty. You're dependable. People can rely on you to the extent that they can rely upon you, given everything given but depth. And being able, I had what Sister Ma had. I had humor because I like to laugh. I don't care if it's politics. I don't care if it's children. I don't care if it's old people. I don't care. I will get me a laugh out of anything because life is too short to be trying to, oh, woe is me. No, I can't do that. Humor, I had humor. I think that was about it. I think, yeah, that's about it. That's about it.
All right. Okay. Brother George, you had some noise in the background, so I had to mute you for a second.
Sorry about that, brother.
You situated over there? Okay.
I'm good, man.
Okay. All right. Sister Rhonda, thank you so much.
Yes, sir. You're welcome.
All right. Yeah. So I didn't formally write down anything myself, but can I speak candidly? So anybody, if I have permission to speak candidly,
brother, look. When have you not been speaking candidly?
No, I don't speak candidly all the time.
Really, you hold that?
Star six. Let me just get a consensus. Please press star 6 if I can speak candidly. Please, if you want to hear me speak candidly, if you want me to just soften it up, then, you know, don't say anything. Let me see how many people are interested, because there's some things that we got to address directly, but, you know, this is supposed to be a judgment-free zone. this is supposed to be a judgment-free zone. So I want to make sure that it stays that way. We don't have enough people to want to hear me speak candidly. So I'm going to skirt around. Yeah, I'm going to skirt around. No one cares. So I mean, it's not enough. It's not a good proportion. It's not a good proportion to what's on the call, and so I don't want to run the risk of offending anyone. So let me clean things up a bit.
I'll give one more effort at encouraging you, because for us to grow.
I understand, but I mean, there's other ways. I just wanted to be. Let me just say this.
You are fearless.
When we have these calls, when we have all of our calls, you know, I say, listen, we all need to build this together, right? We all need to build this together. I don't know everything. I welcome input so that I can, you know, add pieces to it. So that you can add pieces to it. This engagement series, this training series, this is your baby. This is your creation, your idea. It makes perfect sense, right? And so you're bringing this to the group, to the organization. The way that you're conducting it, there's an image that's associated with that. And so the way that I'm hosting and doing what I'm doing, there's an image associated with that. And so okay. I don't want to violate those expectations. And so from what's going on here, the ratio to the amount of people we have on the call and the amount of people who actually express interest is very low. And so I'm not going to violate any expectations. So, but here's what I will say. I will talk about some of the other things.
Okay.
We want. And this is, you know, this is the 10, this is for the membership, whatever it is. I would like to see, in terms of our brothers and sisters, in terms of the definition, redefining black, going forward in a new culture, self-accountability and self-responsibility, right? I would love to see that. I would love to see brothers and sisters who can put their egos aside and say, hey, listen, you know what? I don't know. It's not. I find that a lot of brothers and sisters, throughout all walks of life, right? Because I meet all kinds of people. When we're discussing something that they may not know, they still will weigh in and fight tooth and nail to defend a position where they know in their heart that they absolutely do not have accurate information. And that causes a lot of problems. That causes us a lot of our attempts to organize and to move forward and make progress. That causes a lot of tension, because what happens is when that person does that, the other person on the receiving end forms an opinion. And so that opinion may be that person is lying, being disingenuous, whatever it is, you know, can't be trusted or whatever. And I watch a lot of different, and not just this organization, I watch a lot of people do a lot of different things. I'm in a circle with a lot of young brothers, well, not young brothers, but well, young to some, but like a lot of my contemporaries, you know, guys that are in our 40s, we've had, you know, interesting lives or whatever. And a lot of us are saying, you know what, it's time to actually do something for our communities, time to give back. Specifically, you know, I have a lot of guys that I'm associated with that are, you know, in the anti-violence, you know, in that arena, you know, to stop the drugs and, you know, all of this other stuff, anti-gang stuff and all of that. What I notice is, although each individual has their organization, it's really, really hard for us to work together, because someone will give misinformation or erroneous information to another person, right? And that hurts us as a person. I'm like, you know, so I'll be very candid. So, you know, everyone knows, you know, we're affiliated with an organization called Wheelchairs Against Guns. that's an organization specifically to go into the schools and you know, protect these inner city kids from the dangers of bullying, gangs, and gun violence. That's what we focus on. So we go into the school, we try to catch these kids when they're young, and we talk to them about the dangers of being a bully. We tell them what to do if they're being bullied. We talk to them about, you know, about joining these gangs, and we talk to them and we tell them how that leads to gun violence. The speaker that, you know, the brother that conducts the workshop, he's in a wheelchair. They're watching him. They're looking at him, and he's telling them, listen, you know, usually they tell you there's two options, death or jail. Well, there's this third option. It's a wheelchair, and, you know, I'm living my hell every day. So we get some money from the city to do this, but usually we just try to pull the money together the best way we can. There's money that has been allocated for low-income areas and things like that, and there are some other brothers who are, you know, they're getting that money. When we sit down and we talk about how we can collaborate together, because the mission is to really reach more kids and stop the senseless violence and things like that, those gentlemen come to the table and give erroneous information or misdirect information or don't know what they're talking about, knowing that they hired someone else to do whatever it is. And that's causing a lot of tension right now. We're having a lot of tension sitting at the round table, and I'm trying to keep it at the front of my mind that, listen, man, the goal is to save these kids. So let's just stay focused on that, but everyone has their personal biases. That also happens within this organization. We have lost members because of something they heard on a call or an email or speaking with me or whatever, right, because they feel that things should be done, you know, a certain way. And so when I ask them, well, do you have any experience doing it the way that you're suggesting? They say no. Okay, well, can you direct me to someone who's done it that way? No, you can't do it. So you're pulling this out of your, you know, you're just coming up with something, and I'm asking you for validation. Because the mission that this organization is on, our marching orders, every single facet is based on something that currently exists and is validated, or it's something that I have done in my life. Or for the areas, the things that I know I can't do or I have no experience, it is my full intentions to hire someone to do those things. So that's a big sticking point, especially for something of the magnitude that we're trying to do, right? And so this engagement series is really good because this allows us to bond on a much deeper personal level. And so, you know, you can hear from, you know, many of the brothers and sisters, it's, you know, put your differences aside, keep the mission, you know, in front of us. That is so important. But also important is if you don't know something, it's okay to say, I don't know, because Google is your friend. We can go and look it up. I'm a research nut. Sister Rhonda is a research nut. Sister Maya is a research nut. You can ask some of us. Sister Shauna is a research nut. There are people that you can ask within the organization, and I'm sure, like Sister Rhonda said, we have enough intelligence within the organization to find some of these things out. So please, let's do that. And I want to see that amongst Black people, period. I just want to see that amongst Black people, period. That would be a great thing to have within our culture. Within our culture is scrappiness, right? I want it to be where people are saying, let me make a way out of no way. I remember back in the days, there were a lot of, I guess, like when, like, this single mother thing started really, really coming on. I mean, my mother worked like three jobs. Like, she was, I mean, my mom was on her grind, for real. And my next door neighbor and the people downstairs and stuff like that. So, like, that scrappiness, that commitment to just making it happen, we need that. We have strong backs. That's the reason why we were used as slaves. They tried to enslave other people, and they were breaking. So if we're going to have to slave hard and work hard, let's do it for ourselves. Let's do it for our own betterment, right? And have a plan in place to work hard and build a system that uses leverage, because you can't work hard all your life. So I would really, really love for our people to go back to adopt that spirit of scrappiness, that can-do, pulling yourself up by the bootstrap. I would also love for people to be able to cooperate, for that to become part of the culture, where we just instinctively help one another. And what I'm trying to this, and this is personally what I'm trying to do with this organization, is figure out how a bunch of brothers and sisters who don't know each other can do something and all receive a degree of personal satisfaction. I'm really trying to find out what the variable, or what the coefficient is going to be, because I'm hoping it can be multiplied. And I don't know right now, because some people are doing it because they want to be part of something. Other people are doing it because they're sick and tired of where we are, and they're like, we just got to do something. Other people are doing it because they like the blueprint. You know, all different reasons. I want to find how we can create this thing, create something, and it corresponds with us. And then we can go out, and then that's how we can have people cooperating all throughout our community. Right? Is so money right now is like one of the main motivators of our people. And I'm sure like businesses and Jewish people figure out ways to make things equitable, right? We have that lack of trust with one another. And I'm not even going to say the trust. I mean, I do want the trust to be there, but I think it also needs to be like some kind of known vehicle, some known entity where it's like, hey, brother, if I help you, you know I have a degree of self-interest, and my self-interest will be taken care of by me helping. Or something like that. So I'm not going to keep elaborating, because I can be here all night going around. But those are just some of the things that I want to see specifically with our brothers and sisters.
So a subset.
Or as a redefinition, as the definition of this new black culture.
So would it be fair to say that a 2-3 word description of what you're saying is humility, humility.
It's not humility. I'm not even a humble person. I don't think we should be humble. I think we should be confident, or when we don't know, we should just shut up. That's it. We should be inquisitive. So if you know. Like, if something is happening and you know, yeah, by all means, speak up. And if you've achieved and accomplished something of merit in your life, that's right. I mean, that's don't live your life in the shadows. This is the only life you have. But if you don't know, like many brothers and sisters already said, be open-minded, be inquisitive. Say, no, I don't know, but I'm interested. Or be candid and be like, no, I don't know, and frankly, that doesn't interest me. Because a lot of brothers and sisters can tell you, like, when we talk behind the scenes, that's how I am. It's right. So I've had people say, you're a know-it-all, or you think it is, da 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 da. And I'm like, no, I don't think I know everything. I just so happen to know a little bit about a lot of different things. But what happens is, when I don't know something, I go, I don't know. Tell me. And I'm dead serious. I'm dead serious. I don't know. Tell me. Let's look it up. Brother Cujo and I have these conversations all the time. But then there's like little weird stuff that I know where I just don't even know how I know it. You know, it's just stuff. It's something I picked up, something I read in a book, or whatever it is, life experiences or whatever. And so, you know, I'm able to share. And so, at the earlier part of my life, I felt like a square peg in a round hole. I would hide that from people. And so that's why I don't think if you know something and people are looking for the answer. Share the answer. If people are saying, oh, you think you're a know-it-all, you're this kind of stuff, Like, no, but I just so happen to know that. I know, you know, I know what you're talking about. Or all the things that, all the questions you're asking, I just so happen to have the answers. It's not my fault. And then that's it. That's it. I think if our people start having that degree of confidence, then we will start doing way more amazing things, because confidence gives you the confidence builds. It gives you the action muscle, right? So when you do something, it makes you do things that you've never done before. And then you're like, you know what? I've pretty much been in situations like this before, or I've been flying by the seat of my pants before, and I usually land on my feet. You know what? I'm going for it. And that's what you do. All right? So
I know.
We have a few other people in the queue. So Sister Rhonda, Brother Vaughn. So basically it was only like three people that wanted me to speak candidly. Sister Ma texted me and said she wanted me to speak candidly, but it's not a good ratio for the amount of people on the call. But Brother Leonard did not share tonight, so I am going to open up his mic, and then Sister Kim. Brother Leonard.
Yeah, how's everybody? Hello?
Well, peace, me and brother George are doing good. Everyone
good.
Else is.
Good. Yeah.
We don't know.
No, I just want to encourage you to go ahead and speak. You asked to press star 6. I just want to encourage that. And what everybody has said as far as their homework was concerned, I didn't get mine turned in, but I concur with everybody that these are the things. I think in all of the feedback, and I feel like we alluded to it, but we have to have patience. And we have to understand the stages in which we're in. And I'll give you a hypothetical, because I'm piggybacking on what you were talking about. When you were talking about the organization or the group, gave the illusion that they had information on how to do something a little better. They were actually practicing James Brown's phrase, talking loud and saying nothing. But that's time consuming, and I understand your point with that. But you'll find that a lot, or at times, when people are talking, you'll find, just like you mentioned, you already know who the research individuals are. You know what team you would pick to do this. You know what team you'll pick to do that. Because with something of this magnitude, as we move forward, we also have to be strategists. We have to understand where we are. We have to know where we're going. And then what's the end result. So I just wanted to encourage you on that part. And that's why I hit the star 6. And I also feel... these are great exercises, because when you find that you're frustrated with something that, in many people's eyes, this is so simple, why wouldn't you just get on board and say, let's do this? But as the exercise before, when we asked, how do you see yourself as a black, African-American, when you see that there's so many different views just among us, ask yourself, take 30 million African Americans, and unfortunately I'm still saying African American, but let me say black or new people, you take 30 million of them and ask them their opinion. So then you see where we are, and then we have to work toward creating what works for us in the group. Because, as you mentioned before, I think, this may not be for everybody. Even if their intentions are, if anybody with the organization, Black Wallace Matters, stifles our growth, they may be more of a liability than an asset to the organization. So I just wanted to, like I said before, the only reason why I hit star 6 is I wanted you to be able to elaborate. I was okay with it. But that's all I have.
Well, I'll tell you this. So you, like you just said, you know, I kind of like got a feel and know, you know, certain characteristics of certain things about people. You know, I unmuted your phone because I know you're good. You think on your feet. So I can just be like, hey, Brother Lennon, now the mic over to you. And I know you'll just, you know, you'll come off the top of the head with some good inspirational stuff, brother. And you
right,
did not disappoint.
Yeah, well, thank you.
You did not disappoint. And Sister Kim, too. Sister Kim is about to come on and call somebody a nigga. So let's open up the floor for Sister Kim. She's been listening to Richard Pryor, old Richard Pryor records.
That's right.
Thank you, brother.
All right.
Sister Kim?
Yes, brother.
My kids are in the bed, so dad, she says, no filter. Go on.
No, I don't call them niggas. I just say sometimes we do niggerish type things.
You done 2 weeks in a row, you done slipped that in, so.
Well, you know, that really pertains to no color, you know. So that's just not a us thing, you know. You know, they're just using the word more nowadays, loosely. Okay. I hope everyone is doing well. Well, I'm going to wait before I say that because I was listening to what you said. And, you know, I agree with you. I didn't get to mention it on the Thursday call, but we are a bunch of nerds.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's good, though. That's a good thing. Because, you know, I identify with what you were saying about, you know, I guess to me it's feeling I would feel out of place growing up. You know what I mean? Because the things that I would research or read about, you know, they're not in the phone that I have conversations.
Your phone is breaking up, sister.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have conversations with people, and they're, like, gone on saying, you know, it's above and over their head. But my 10 characteristics, let me see. One, I did it last week. As soon as we got off the phone, I was supposed to go back and change it. One, I had to. You got to have.
Sister, I don't know if you have us on speaker or I don't know what's going on, but you're going like in and out.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had tenacity for one.
Okay.
Let me see, because you got to have it. You know, you just can't, you know, you got to think of different ways. Bold, as far as, you know, not trying to be a bully with it, but standing firm on what you believe. Let me see. My glass is falling. Resourceful, because we got to come up with different ways. And everybody has a talent. You know, one may not be the same as someone else, but we all have a special kind of gift, whether it's cooking, sewing, nurturing, whichever. Open-minded. You have to have an open mind. We have to listen to what other people say, as we want people to hear what we have to say, and take it in. You know, everything is not meant to hurt our feelings. Sometimes, and that's another thing, we're not receptive to constructive criticism. You know, we'll get in our feelings real deep. Let me see. Loyalty. And that was another one for my black trait. Assurance. Accountability. Empathetic.
Okay, nice. I wanted to ask you assurance. Could you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, sure. What I mean by assurance is being, you know what we're talking about. We may not know everything, but just like you were saying, you know, you can ask someone. But when you know something, you stand on that, you know.
Okay.
It's not a matter of can't nobody tell you nothing, but if you sure that you have on blue socks and someone trying to tell you got on green socks, you don't have to pull your pants leg up to see if it's a blue sock.
Right. Okay. There you go.
Let me see. My ninth one is faithfulness. Let me see, my 10th one would be strength, because, you know, it takes all of us to hold each other up. One gets knocked down, you know, can't just let them lay by the wayside. You know, we have to be strong. Being told no, you know, being let down about something. You got to dust yourself off, get back up. Let me see, on my 5, I have pro-black love. Well, I put black in there, but I put pro-love for our culture, because we're so divided. You got some light skin that don't like dark skin, and, you know, economic prejudice as far as, you know, well, I'm black and I got it more than what they got, and, you know, well, I'm not going to use that word, because you know how we'll throw it around, but the way we see it, respect for each other, everyone, loyalty, what did I have, unity, and my last one was economically established. And I would love to see all of us economically established, you know, where no one has to wonder where this is coming from, that's coming from. Well, I got to work. Who can get my kids? I don't have to worry about, you know, well, will they be there? You know, just economically established. And those are my 5.
Okay, excellent.
Thank you, sister.
All righty. Y'all have a good one.
Okay. And, Brother Jeff.
Brother Jeff.
Hello. Can you hear me now?
Peace. Yes, you can.
Peace. All right. About to run it down. Here we go. Number one, starting with leader. Leader of, I'm going with that one. Let me see. You can understand direction when you're a leader. That means nobody in this group will have a problem being a thumb on the hand. I mean, you know, everybody don't want to be a finger, want to be a follower. Number two is listener. Like you say, when you don't know, hush your mouth and learn something or that you don't know. So be a listener. Be attentive to listening. Because to me, myself, I'm a naturally quiet person. So I like to sit back and I watch, I listen, and I observe. So that's a trait people need, like you say, instead of know-it-all, try to pick that up. I got patience. Because when you're patient, you know, you can take commands and things, you know, in an orderly fashion. My next one is going to be obedient. Person, they need to be obedient to being black, to our definition of black. So I feel you need to be obedient to that. Then I got discipline. When you're disciplined, then you can handle tasks. You know, you're just a goal setter as well. Then I got respect. You need to respect yourself. You respect yourself. You respect others. You respect the group. You respect our people. And that's the key thing with us as black folks. Just number one, respect. It's not spread evenly enough with us to. It's one of our number one killers. Then I got love. Got to have love for all of this. I mean, from the beginning, the middle of it, the end of it. You got to have love. And then there's a commitment. If there's no commitment, you ain't in it. You got to be committed to be in it. You ain't committed, you ain't in it. Then, let me see here what else I got. I can barely see what's my last one here. And I got reconditioned. Like, we're going, you know, this process we're going through, some things that we come in here with, we're going to have to leave behind, you know, to bring on the new us. So we got to accept being reconditioned, you know, just like the task of Joy he's taking us through right now with this. We reconditioning ourselves. So you have to accept that. And then my last one would be unbreakable. Like everyone's saying, you know, we got to be be ready for the, you know, the dark times, you know, and you got to be able to stand in the rain, because it's going to rain, it's going to storm hard. So be able to stand up and, hey, walk in the rain. So let's go. And that's it for me.
All right.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah. Okay, so he was the last one in the queue. Brother George, is there anything you want to continue with the line of questioning or anything like that?
Was he the last one?
Yeah, he was the last one.
Okay, so a lot of really good qualities listed. The theme that's coming to mind when I hear these is there's two categories of these characteristics. Some of those characteristics currently exist in our community. And some of these characteristics need to be more regularly demonstrated in our community. So because there were so many, I was trying to write each one down furiously, but I think it better that after this one, everybody submit their characteristics written down to Brother Lou, and then Brother Lou will submit them to me so I can get a better pattern of everything, because I couldn't keep track. I started getting cramps in my hand trying to catch up. But there are certain characteristics that we already represent. We do them all of the time. And then there's other characteristics mentioned that we need to bring them in a whole lot more. So what I would like each person to do after the call tonight is review your list and put your list of those characteristics in those two goals, in your opinion, in those two categories. In your opinion, which ones do we already do for the most part, and which ones do we really need to more aggressively add to what we're doing? And the reason I'm looking at it that way is because there's a saying that comes out, I'm sure you've heard this. If you want something you've never had, you have to be able or willing to do something you've never done. And then there's another one that comes to mind. In order to get more, you have to be more. So in both of those cliches, the way that I personally interpreted it is that we have to be willing to step outside of whatever our boundary is if we want to expand our territory. And most of that is an internal movement. So if we move on the inside, the outside's got no choice but to move.
Okay. What I want to say really quick. Well, you know what, Brother Vaughn had the poem that he wanted to that he wanted to share. So Brother Vaughn, you can share that prayer, and then poem. You can share that poem. Yeah, Brother Vaughn, press star 6, and then I'll just summarize, because what I'm thinking of. Like I said, I'll share it in a few minutes. Brother Vaughn. All right, brother. Yep.
All right. Hold on, let me get this on. This is basically where I'm at with what we got going on now, kind of. It's like I say, is I write. I just write from my understanding and things of that nature. I just want y'all's opinion. If it's something y'all like, I can keep doing it. If not, then you know. But here goes. I say, It's time to get understanding for all of the chatter and tell the world the reason why black wallets matter. According to the data, we spend the most, but we have the least worldwide, coast to coast. Stating bragging boast. Say what?
Yeah, no, keep going. I'm feeling it. Go ahead.
My bad. Steady bragging boast, flossing and flaunting, puppet about the shit we got, still really wanting. Believe me, it's haunting. Something's got to give. Why they want to shut me down, and I'm just trying to live. Been like this since I was a kid, and ain't shit changed. Learned about my own culture. America seems strange. Like it's all been arranged to go against me and mine. Well, I'm wide awake, and I see my people ain't blind. We just need ourselves a guide and a positive vibe that we had back in the time identified by the tribe. No conflict where we reside, like the bees in the hive. Together as one, set to get the job done, because our shoes is overrun, and it's time to get our share. R means us together, so it's time to get aware of what may be the question asked in the minds of most. The answer is really simple, so take heed, come close. Everything affecting us, the struggle of this life. Everything you think about, it brings about a strife. Everything that stops us from the progress of the process. Everything you eat for what helps life, you have to digest. Everything corrupting us, everything not secure. It's billionaires in this country. How the hell we got the poor? Everything brainwashing, dumbing down our youth. Everything that teaches us the lies. We want the truth. Divided is how we've been. Together is our new start. Time to put together a movement using the brain and the heart. We know it's strength in numbers, and people are easy to corrupt. But now it's time for us to wake and mass up. So till the casket drop from the present for the latter, I represent the black, because we the reason black wallets matter.
Yo, you called out a poem, bro. You was over there spitting, bro. I hear the. Yo, bro, I already know.
Nah, man, force you.
Beatbox to the man, like.
That was just poetry. It was just a little poetry.
Nah, bro. I used to rhyme, bro. I know the cadences, bro. Them lines was just coming. If that was on a beat, you would have just been ahead of everything this, everything that, everything.
So you know when I was listening to that, because you know I'm a musician myself,
right?
And one of the earlier people that gave their characteristics. One of our strengths is our creativity.
Yeah.
And music, art, poetry, that is our soul. Someone else said soulful. That's our soul, man.
Yeah.
That's what moves us, that emotion.
Yeah.
And I think we need to reclaim that strength of ours back, because other people have co-opted our ability and used it against us in their favor. So I think part of the strategy in coming up with this redefinition so that we can really move with purpose is we got to use that strength of art, of music, you know, of spoken word, because that just cuts through all the crap, especially for those who have an ear to hear. I think that would be a phenomenal way to really represent our collective collaboration.
Excellent. Hold on. I have to mute this phone. He has some noise in the background. Brother Vaughn, you good?
Yep. I agree 1,000.
Bro, I love that, man. That definitely, that's the thing of beauty right there.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I don't know if you want to share it and put it up on the site or, you know, if you want to send some images.
I want to take you like this, you know what I mean, first off.
That's fine. If you have something, like, if you have, like, some some images, some pictures, or whatever it is, something that you want to go with that, let me know, man. We throw that right on the site.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Cool.
Is your stuff copyrighted and protected and all that?
No. No.
Okay, I want you to do that, bro. I want you to go ahead, even before you make it public, ahead and do all the paperwork. You know, if you need any assistance or anything like that, feel free to connect with me. You know, I'd be glad to assist you through that if you already know it, cool. But get that copyrighted, man, because I think your talent could be one of our major strategies in our because at the end of this, you know, we're gonna form task committees. Once we decide on these collective attributes, we're gonna form task committees on how we can make these apparent in our organization.
Right.
It's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to do it. So we're gonna need, you know, some of the characteristics that jump out at me that people have said is leadership.
Right.
And self accountability. Mm-hmm. And that now it's personal that we have to be that movement. It's one thing to write it on the words, but now how do we implement these attributes?
Right.
So I want you to get yourself protected and get ready, man, because I think we're going to be using a lot of that.
All righty. I got you.
All right. Thank you, brother.
About. Thank you.
And now we got Sister Constance. Hello?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Brother Lou.
Peace, sister. How are you?
Good. I'm good. Dope poem, by the way. I don't think I caught his name. Brother Vaughn?
Yeah, Brother Vaughn. Uh-huh.
Brother Vaughn, dope poem. I appreciate it. And there's one thing that you said in there that when you said it felt like it was planned, that resonated with me because what I would want people that's in the movement with me in this group to understand is that it was definitely planned. Everything that we have been through in this company, in this country, laws was put into place to make sure that we became the minority underclass in this country. I had a bad debate earlier today with a coworker, and the more he talked, I realized he knew nothing. Like you say, you like black people, you love your people, you love black people, but you knew nothing about your history. I asked him about Malcolm X, and he didn't even understand where he came from, and what it took for him to get what changed his mindset. And it's disheartening. So one of the things that I would really appreciate is just for people to have a basic, to have the knowledge to take the time out to read about our history. And the one thing that keeps coming to me is a short speech Fred Hampton said, and in the speech he was talking about education. Like, you can have the best intentions for your people, but if you're not educated and down and know how these people play the game, you can lead your people into just something that's just not good for them because you're not educated on what's going on. You don't understand how we got to where we are now, and you're just blind to just some things. So education is big, and I'm not saying that I know everything, but I know without education, it doesn't work. And politics, we got to understand black politics. We got to get more involved. And I'm not sure exactly how deep in politics you want to go, Brother Lou, but I just recently, it was a quote of W.E.B. Du Bois said that business and politics go hand in hand. He said you can't have one without the other because these people make laws and will come through and take everything that you built, and they have done that in the past. So,
that's exactly. I mean, that essentially was. I mean, that was like one of the taglines, like economics and politics. That's what Black Lives Matter is essentially about. Sister Kim said a little bit earlier, she said, you know, what she's noticing is that we're all like nerds or whatever. What and Brother Cujo and I, we kind of like was coming to this conclusion like some months ago. We were like, you know what? The people that we have the best conversations with are those who are well-read or who are interested in learning. And it doesn't even have to be formal education. It's just like, it's just like a level of intelligence. It's like this basic level of intelligence. And one of the things that I think, while we kind of, maybe when I communicate to people, when we're on our recruitment calls, when we're on our Thursday calls, you know, the information, the things that are being communicated, it's not being communicated in like a dumbed down ghetto way. It's being communicated in, you know, with seriousness and, you know, a degree of professionalism and some articulation. At least I try to. And so I think, so what you're saying is very, very important. And I think that will be a litmus test. I think that's going to be like that. That will have people either self-selecting themselves to be part of this organization. And then last week, Brother Cujo mentioned the talented 10th because that was something that he and I were talking about, and I did some research on it. Sister Rhonda actually wrote up something on WEB Du Bois. So we may, and not to like toot our own horn or to be exclusionary, but for what we're trying to do, we may require people who are forward thinking. We may, because every single person, when they share their thoughts and their ideas, it's some forward thinking thing. It's a really progressive wealth. It's a thought. It's a change in thought. It's not the run of the mill thinking process. And so, I mean, I'm glad you're pointing that out, sister. You want people to have some rudimentary education, basic on our culture, and have a foundational understanding of politics and, you know, all of these other different things and how the world really works. That's necessary for what we're doing.
Very. Yeah, very.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe we can, you know, suggest some books to one another so, you know, we can just be all on the same page. Because, you know, people come full force when you're trying to lift yourself up. And if you're not educated, you'll fall for anything.
Right. I think powernomics is something that we should go through because it's closely in alignment with what our mission and our blueprint is. Talk about some of the, well, I'm not going to say innovations because I didn't know about powernomics at the time that we, you know, that I was formulating the blueprint, but we can definitely draw some parallels and, you know, some of the things, you know, that I think are innovative, you know, because of my experience. Well, that is just, I'm not going to cut you off. Go ahead.
Well, you give me an idea there. I know we're not talking ideas per se just yet. But I think one of the ways, because this whole intelligence forward-thinking piece, that definitely needs to be a major component along with the creativity. I think a cool or an effective element in that is having a book club specific to those type of intellectuals, you know, Anderson and Du Bois and all that. How often we do it, you know, can be, you know, whatever makes sense. But that intellectual aspect, we should make that a part of our regimen within the organization, I think.
I actually, just as soon as she said it too, I just was doing it. I got my books here, and I just figured out today how to make my scanner scan from my computer without them being connected. I was like, you know what, I can start scanning a few pages, we can send that out, and then we can have discussions. We can highlight things.
Yeah.
I have I got powernomics. I got destruction of black civilization. Love I got it. Conspiracy Love to it. Destroy black boys by Kwanzaa Kujufa. I got tons Love of books. It. I'm sure a lot of other people have a bunch of books. I mean, if that's something you guys want to do, you know, on these calls, especially so that way everyone will have, so we will be able to give each other a solid foundational cultural education based on that black, based on the definition of black. So then we'll be able to all come to an understanding together, you know, education and together. So if that's something you guys want to be a part of, man, you know, hey, let's take a vote. Press star 6 if you want to, like, have, you know, we start doing something like some education, I specifically want to, well, can't say just American history. Can't say that because in destruction of black civilization, there's a lot. Yo, that book is kind of crazy because it goes back and it starts talking about how civilization and culture and all of that stuff, how it actually came about, and you know all of this other stuff. So, okay, so I don't. So no one. Well, no one's really interested. Brother Jeff is the only one.
Hey, I wouldn't.
Whoa. You see? All right. So it's Brother Jeff. It's Brother Jeff. Okay. So there we go. We got a. All right. There we go. We got a few more people. Sister Rhonda, I need you to be in on this. I'm gonna have to just throw you in there. I don't see Sister Mai in there. Brother Ty, you don't want to know what's going on, bro. You don't want to. We're not talking about full books, man. We're talking about, you know, going through a few passages. Maybe I can scan something, and then there'll be sheets like this, and we'll read them, and then we'll just have a discussion. Because I really want to just focus on the principles. But someone is going to have to. All right, there we go. So now we got quite a few people. Someone is going to have to kind of like go through these things, though, right? Because with all the things I'm doing, I don't have time to sit there and come up with like a full syllabus.
See, Lou, that's the other thing. You know, the other aspect of this is when we see the theme of the ideas and suggestions come out, we start forming task groups so that you're not doing all of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I just want to make, but you know, maybe everybody knows, you know, probably, I mean, who has a library of black books.
Right.
I'm not saying I have an extensive library, but I do. I have some books.
Yeah.
So, all right, cool. So we do have a few people in on that. So that may be something that we can. Do you have some books, brother? Do you have a library?
You talking to me?
Yes, Brother Joe.
Yeah. I do. I have a. A lot of black literature, and also as you might have already assumed, I have a lot of psychological literature, mental health literature, stuff like that.
Okay. All right. Cool. Sister Constance, you still have more? You still have more?
No. That was pretty much it.
Okay. All right. So we do have some decent interest. I mean, I guess we could try it, right? So we can just go send the printout, you know, highlight a few important passages and go from there. Do you have Powernomics, brother? Brother George?
Yes, I do.
Okay, cool. Yep, so we can definitely go through some of the – we can try it with that book because I think that's something that's really important for everyone to get a grasp of, specifically with the things that he's talking about, the different power structures and how we need to go about forming, you know, forming our own power structures, essentially.
So, you know, one of the things I'm thinking there, too, is while we're on the topic, I guess I'm suffering through my head right now, but the Thursday calls are the new member calls, right?
Yep.
Okay, so... I would like to be able to implement some form of these during the new members' calls as well, whether it's a shortened version, because I don't know all of the formats you use on new members' calls, but to entice, to give them an actual feel and to expose them to the new definition. These are things we want to at least do pieces of during the new members call, I'm suggesting.
Well, I have been, as we've been defining things on these calls, I have mm-hmm. been rolling that out on the members
okay.
calls. I have been, okay. you know, I have been telling them specifically, these are the kinds of people that we're looking for with these particular types of qualities. So, you know, people are self-selecting. So if it resonates with them, then they're staying on.
Gotcha.
Usually when we go through that process, you know, a couple of people get off, but then we wind up having a really good, engaging conversation. So
gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. So trust me, I am learning from these exercises. Yeah. So I want to so Sister Constance, so you're good. So we're coming up close. We don't have to run this all night. But being that we're talking about you know, actually doing something together, Sister Constance, I'm gonna take you out of the queue. Thank you for your piece, sister. Thank you for contributing.
No problem.
I kind of want to like dovetail on that. So here's what I was thinking. I was speaking with a sister yesterday. She has a different organization. Actually, you know, I don't even know if it's an organization, but she has calls. Sister Mai and Brother Leonard introduced me to the sister. She has a radio show. And so I was speaking with her yesterday, and she wants to bring – she has an extensive network of some pretty influential people. And she was saying she wants to have, like, a town hall meeting, have some people get together, but then actually – hammer out like a plan of action or hammer out some solution.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, at some point in time, once the date is hammered out, I'll get to you guys. You know, you guys can come on board and, you know, we can represent our organization and things like that. But what I was saying to her, we outlined some problems in the community. Right, and let me just tell you, when I said I have some innovative ideas, you know, to like try to handle like some of the problems that we have in our community, I want to point out a few of the problems and how, like, you know, just like some of the solutions, some of the ways that this organization can solve, like, I mean, a multitude of the problems, like in a domino effect type thing, right? So we know that the underemployment is a problem. We know that we need to build wealth amongst our people. We need more black businesses. We know that we have to protect our youth, and we really have to, if we want to make the changes, permanent lasting changes within the black community, especially with the mindset, we know that we have to start with the youth, right? We know that our people need to get back into a position where they can become more productive with the things that they're actually doing, being able to, be able to provide for themselves, have a better quality of life and things like that, gainful employment and stuff like that. There's something else too. Okay, right, we have to curtail the violence, and we need the politics, right? So we need to be able to become more politically astute and influential so that we can start pushing, you know, things around so these cops can stop bashing our heads in. Those are a bunch of different problems, right? And when I was talking to the sister about solutions, right, and then we have, you know, foreigners coming into our community siphoning off our cash, right? I said, when she was asking me, like, so what kind of solutions are you thinking about? And I said, practical and applicable, things that could actually change what's going on. And I said, so for instance, one of the major sources of cash in our community are these corner stores. These corner stores are owned by these Arabs mostly, right? we spend an insane amount of money in those stores. I mean, if you can't even fathom the type of money we spend in these stores, because it's usually basically cash, and we do it, and it's just like so brain dead easy, right? So we talk about these convenience stores. If we were to go and like pool our money as an organization or a group of organizations coming together and say $10 million, $20 million, a $10 or $20 million fund to just specifically go back and reclaim those businesses, go into these communities, try to buy the corner stores or either open up right across from these guys and be competitive. I know for a fact that some of the stores, like the store, there's two right up the street from me. One of them does about $7,000 a day. That's cash. They don't take ATMs. They have an ATM machine in there, but they don't take credit cards. One does about $7,000 a day in cash, and the other one across the street does between $3,000 and $4,000 a day. Right, $3,000 a day is $1 million a year. But anyway, if we were to go back and start getting those businesses, right, we could create a formula for how to run the corner store like the 7-Eleven. We would have to probably compete with these guys, so we would have to get our stuff in the supply chain and, you know, undercut their prices for a little bit, and then figure out an inventory system and figure out how to work shifts, right? Because if we know, you know about those guys, it'll be two guys. They'll work 24/7, 7 days a week. I mean, we ain't gonna get no black folks that's gonna do that. But we have to figure out how to run it like a 7-Eleven. We turn it into a franchise opportunity for brothers and sisters who are looking to start businesses, who are looking, to accumulate wealth, build wealth. Now we have a vehicle for them. We done worked out all the kinks. We had enough money to weather the storm or whatever, and now we have a formalized training system. They're able to go and start acquiring a franchise, which is basically a convenience store, something like a 7-Eleven, right? We have all the numbers broken down. We know what products are mainly in demand, so we can stock up on those things, negotiate, use bulk buying, volume buying to get really, really low prices on it. We got the shifts and everything broken down. They're able to understand what kind of business or what kind of margins they can expect, just like if they're buying, you know, a Subway or a McDonald's or something else like that. And as part of the royalty, like with the franchise, like, you know, franchise, they charge a royalty fee. We put in a 5 or 10% royalty or whatever, you know. So let's say if we were going to charge them 20%, we could add another 5 or 10%. That 5 or 10% gross revenue, because that's how royalty is, that could go to fund a community resource center. So the brothers and sisters in that community or who are willing to invest and want a business and build wealth, they now have a black franchise, a black business to go and buy that will serve the black community. And a portion of the revenues generated out of that store will go to build a community resource center. And in those community resource centers, we're able to give people job training, do the things that we need for the kids. If we go and we create those nationwide, there are I don't even know how many corner stores there are, but in New York, like, there's usually stores on all four corners, and they're all making money. So I know in, like, some of the major other black cities, in Philly, it's the same way. And some of the other major black cities, we have the space. We have the capacity. There's many of our brothers and sisters that do their full grocery shopping at corner stores. So that's all the money. I mean, and that money is not being calculated accurately because it's a cash business. And like I said, I know those ARADs, I know they're taking crazy, crazy cash because they come to the shop to change bills. So that's just, I was just trying to give the sister an idea, like how we can just do one little thing and it could create a snowball effect. Now imagine, you create the community resource center and you're actually giving people jobs, you're providing, you know, cultural education and all these different things for these people in that community. Now you have their ear. And so now you have someone who understands the local political climate and is able to digest it and give people the bullet points and say, hey, listen, you are a constituent of this particular district and all of this. Here's your local congressman or senator or, you know, assemblyman or alderman or whatever it is. Here's where we're going to go take and put our votes. Because our organization, because we put that community resource center there, because we gave something back to that community, because we're helping to uplift that community, those folks will vote in the direction that we want them to. And that is real power. That is real power. And that is a self-sustaining ecosystem. This thing can be rolled out so everybody at each step of the way is able to get the things they want. I know a lot of people, they say, we need more black businesses. We need to build wealth. We need to do this. Everyone doesn't want to do that. There's a lot of responsibility that comes with that. There's a lot of, you have to have some wit. You have to have some savvy. You have to have an appetite for some degree of risk. There's just a lot to being an entrepreneur. And everyone is not built for it. But there are going to be those who want to make other kinds of contributions, or they can pool and have these things running autonomously or whatever it is. Like some of these big investment pools, they'll buy up like 10 and 25 different McDonald's and stuff and run that as a corporation. Or they'll buy a big, swatches of land and property and rent out the things as a conglomerate business. We could do the same thing. This organization is aiming to do the same thing. That's why the membership dues are so important, because it allows us to make missteps. It allows us to make these investments. Right? I've never put together a franchise. I don't know how to systematize a corner store and inventory control and all of this stuff, right? Because how I manage the inventory, what we do, we buy stuff from like Costco or whatever it is, and we sell it until it's sold out, and when we notice it's getting low, we go and buy more. That's what we do. We got a ledger that, you know, we keep the books for how much money comes in and what goes out, but we're not, you know, we don't have a just-in-time inventory management system. But we would put something like that in place, and we would teach our brothers and sisters that skill. For those brothers and sisters who want to learn entrepreneurship but don't know when and where, that also becomes a training ground. Like, there's so many different benefits for creating a system like what I'm talking about. So I want to share with you guys, and I'm not saying specifically that's what we're doing. Those are the kinds of things we can do when we get the type of membership money or the level of membership that we're looking for. We can build these things, and these things will work, and they will. And here's the beauty of it. Until the businesses are profitable, until we sort everything out, the membership dues can support the shortfall. Because for everyone who's in business, you know the most important thing is being able to have having the money to survive. To, you know, take a setback and be able to still thrive and survive. And so that's why it's so important for us to get to the million. Or, you know, 20,000 or, I mean, sorry, no, the 2,000 members. That's why it's so important, because the 2,000 members will, at the very least, have this organization generating $20,000 a month in recurring revenue, which will allow us to build our first thing and able to support it until it takes off on its own. And then we can, and from there, once that thing grows, now we can sit down and look at buying, you know, setting up one of these franchise models. We get the Arabs out of our neighborhood. We get to re-educate our children. We have a way to re-educate our children. We have a way to build wealth for those who want to build wealth. We have a way to, we got jobs to employ people. It's like it's like a freaking domino. So yeah, I just wanted to share that with everyone. Come on, Brother George, I see you. If anyone has any questions or comments on that, you know, chime in. If not, then you know we're gonna shut it down. Yes, Brother George.
Yeah, I like that vision. That to me is another aspect of the outcome of this exercise, where this is not my area of expertise, so I'm just throwing out there. You may have already got working stuff out in your head, but I would like to see maybe. I know you have the blueprint, which that's step number one. But then to maybe designate geographically 2 to 3 areas that would be the most fruitful to start building that vision, and then mine the expertise of the people we have in our group according to the scope of the vision to be part of the foundational building of those projects.
Well, the first step for this is the membership. Because if you don't have any money, you're not going to if you don't have any money, then it's not going to happen. The other thing, though, in terms of mining the membership, there were like three people who were members that had experience running really big companies, running really, really big businesses. Unfortunately, none of them are members any longer. And I sat down with them and we were talking in earnest about how to do things. And, you know, so, I don't really talk about this too much, but one of the things is like when people are on a really, really high level, in terms of business accomplishment, personal accomplishment, ask them to part with sizable resources, whether that's money, connections, and things like that, they tend to want like it all for themselves or a big piece of the pie, right? Mm-hmm. Which is another reason why the organization is set up the way it is with such small membership dues, is because a whole bunch of us can shoulder the little negligible cost. And it's not a big number for someone to be like, well, you know what, man, I gave you $10, so I deserve, you know, 5% of the company or something like that, like something like that. Sister Shauna and I, we were talking about how to best structure something like this, right? So we were talking about, you know, off the top of our head, we were talking about local trust. Right, so we were talking about. So you're in Indy, right? You're in Indianapolis,
mm-hmm.
right? All right. So there would be a trust there. There would be a trust for Chicago. There would be a trust for Dallas and a trust for Houston and one for Atlanta and whatever it is, right? And then when people make their contributions, it goes into that trust, and then the money from that trust would be used to redevelop that community. But even still, those trusts are going to need to still be supported by the overall organization.
Yeah, right.
So, it's not all the way fleshed out. But I do know that without any degree of sustainable income, without even, you know, without the income to even go and hire consultants and lawyers and people who actually know how to set these things up, you know, we're a little ways off from it. So I just want to give you guys an idea of how it is very realistic to accomplish the goals that we're talking. And in business and in the grand scheme of things, $10 or $20 million is really not a lot of money, especially for the type of snowball change it will have within our community. If we are able to do this in one community, if we were able to go in and just change Detroit, if we would be able to go in, buy that whole east side, turn that whole blighted area into a productive place, and create some change. Man, that's the blueprint for all other communities. You know, we just got work, but I mean the plans and the visions, they are there, and all, you know, the things that I'm talking about, they're all documented. So when the time is right, you know, all I have to do is just go dust off the file and then start saying, all right, cool, we're here, we're ready for prime time. Boom, 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 boom. Here's how we execute. All right? We got a few. Okay, cool. We got Brother Leon and Brother Leonard in the queue. All right, hold on for a second. Brother George, your mic is still unmuted, though. I had to I just muted you earlier because you had, I don't know if you sound like you were shuffling papers or something.
Yeah,
like
my fault on that, brother. I've been a little busy.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
All right, Brother Leon, let it on the line, brother.
Brother Leon?
Brother Leon.
Oh, yes, sir. Hey, Blue, glad to be on. Got in a little late. Thursday night, well, Tuesday night tonight, I'd be working with my presentation. But I'll listen to what I heard and going through the conversation. Okay, what I'm getting is that, okay, and I'm thinking more of like at this point, we could kind of look at, since we need money, okay, what we can do is say that, look at, just say we're going to focus on getting the money, okay? And like say this, and then at that point, it's like going into a sales or what we need to do and focusing on, say, raising that money. Like in 90 days, we just have a goal to get this going. Okay, now what we're doing, that would be the thing next. Since the money, since the blueprint is already made, and you have to get a good idea of where we can go because everything we talked about will make it happen. Well, then setting a time frame in 90 days, we're going to do what it takes to get this kind of money. Maybe take a few weeks or a day and figure out what we're going to do to get this kind of program going and then go after aggressively raising that money, okay? And that way, you know, it's going to be through membership, but it could be through other things too. But I'm looking at that as something that we can do is be aggressive. Say, well, we're going to have a goal of in 90 days we'll have this much money. How can we do that? And then select that and then go after that. Then what we can consider is people in organizations who are salespeople that can be more innovative in that area. They can take a, well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to, with no strings attached, we're going to use our expertise in order to what, raise this money. And now, and then at that point, we're moving, we're being intentional about what, getting the goal and making it happen fast, okay? So just kind of being intentional about, say, I got a goal of raising this much money in 30 days, in 60 days, in 90 days, and then put a plan together for that, and then have a proportion of the organization that's spearheading that, and then we all benefit. I just want to throw that in because I think that could be something that we can use like now. Okay, that's my opinion. Okay, so back to you, Brother Lou.
Well, I'll say this: when we were embarking on the plans for the ambassadorship program, things like that were included. So the reason why we're having these engagement series, you know, while Brother George is leading us on this, is because we couldn't pull that together. That's really what was happening. So people were trying to get it together, but people have lives, right? They're busy. They're doing what they're doing. So if in your normal course of a business, let's say you're a salesperson and you're out all day, you know, pounding the pavement or doing whatever it is, pounding the phone or whatever it is you do for 8 hours a day to, you know, sustain your lifestyle, you're not going to do, you know, you're not going to put in an extra 2 or 3 hours for the organization with no degree of consistency, right? We've tried those types of things already. I've had a lot of people promise me a lot of different things. So, I am of the mind of, let's just create a system where the stuff is already set up, and then once the system is set up, then we have our way to basically. I want to hire people because if people volunteer, people say I have no way to enforce anything. There's no way that I can hold them accountable. Mm-hmm. You know, you understand what I'm saying? So
when
something as serious as this in regards to, you know, we need to build and, you know, we need to do this. I mean, even still, like with we have 444 members. It's not all 444 are still paying. Like people fall off every day. When I started posting the fail payments, because I track everything, when I started showing everyone, hey, look, this is how many people have failed. I wasn't even posting all of them. I was just posting some. More people was like, oh, well, they're not paying. Forget it. I'm not going to pay either. Telling you, it's like, yeah, as the numbers, like at towards the end of the year, we got close to break even. I was like, great. We are so far from break even right now. Like we're back to where we were in terms of payments. We had in January we had 182 payments between. Well, the last time I counted, it was like about 182 or 189 failed or canceled payments. That's almost half of the organization.
Wow.
That's it, right? There was a bunch of people started in November. They were like, listen, the holidays are coming up. You know, I'll get back with you after the New Year's and stuff like that. I was like, all right, cool, no problem, no problem, no problem. And then there was the other people. That's why I haven't even posted a new P&L, because I'm like, this is ridiculous. I post it. Every time I post it, we lose people.
Right.
Yeah. It's no great, right? My accountant and my lawyer told me, don't do it. It was like, who in their right mind, you know, talks, you know, shows, you know, everything in their account? You showing you're showing the credit card processing thing, you're doing this, you're doing that. I'm like, yeah. So I was like, you don't get it. You don't understand because you don't understand what we're doing. That was my take on it. I was like, nah, you just don't understand what we're doing. But, yeah, it backfired. Wow. It backfired.
Okay,
so,
I see that. Wow.
Yeah, so I am to the point, like, I'm like, you know, I have my marching orders, the things that are on my whiteboard, the things that I specifically have to do to move the organization forward with what we're doing, right? I have to make necessary adjustments so that we can still, you know, we can still keep moving forward. We're having these engagement series. We're having less people sign up during our recruitment calls, but you know what? I don't even care anymore, because I love the people we have. And I'm realizing that these are the kinds of people that we're going to need. Well, like I said on the last Thursday call, we're going to need to stand side by side and lock our arms and take steps forward. And like Brother Vaughn said, it's going to be rough. We're going to get knocked down. We're going to do this. That's cool. As long as we're together and we're happy about what we're doing and we're sure with what we're doing, that's fine. And I don't care if it's only 20 of us. I don't care if it's only, you know, well, it's more than 20 of us now right here. But I'm just saying, like, you know, whatever the number is going to be, as soon as we build it, as soon as we build that first thing for people to take notice of and look and see that it's working, we already know what's going to happen. The snowball effect is going to happen. Everybody's going to go, oh, yeah, I'm part of the, you know, I've been part of this, I have people like that. So the people that are on our email list, right, we have thousands. I talk with them. I have like these other calls sometimes where I'll do other training with them and I'll talk. And then even sometimes I even try to connect them with the people who are in our organization for different services, right? A member will say to them, why aren't you a member? You're reaching out to this organization. You want the services, you want the benefits of this organization, but you aren't a supporter of the organization. And you people got all kinds of reasons. It's like,
I hear you. I'm in the sales. I hear you. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. So, and I'm telling you, like, you know, so you guys don't see it, but so the people on our email list, they get like an email, they get a bunch of emails from me. So, you know, I'm building a rapport with I'm talking to them. They fully understand what this organization is about. Fully understand. They're just not they just not with it. Or whatever. And so those are some of the hurdles that we have to overcome, but I know what it is. It's money. We can't be in denial about what it is. People are motivated, so they're like, okay, if I make this contribution, how do my $10, my $25, my $50, how does that turn into 11, 26, or 51, or 20, 50, or 100? Like, they want to know how I can make, how that money can flip, instead, you know, for themselves, instead of saying, well, how can we build something for, you know, maybe my children, my grandchildren, or whatever? It's a disconnect there.
Okay.
And so that's why I was talking about the entity like the trust and all these other things, because we can't. So I tried to be radically transparent with the finances of the organization. That backfired. That didn't work. So I'm trying to think, well, we got to have another type of entity where people know, all right, I made this contribution. I need to see my money at work. Even if they don't do that, so you didn't hear because, you missed the beginning of the call. We were talking about how the organization, through our nonprofit, how we could probably start sustaining some of these local endeavors through taking clothes, like thrift clothes. People give away old clothes, right? There's all of us have a bunch of stuff at our house that we want to get rid of. We have a nonprofit mm-hmm. organization that we could contribute those things to. I sent everyone an email, told them that you could get a tax write-off for your membership dues and everything mm-hmm. through our nonprofit. You can get a tax write-off for getting rid of the junk out your house. You get rid of the junk, we have a thrift store, we have some place to sell the stuff. Now, guess what? Just the however many 200 or whatever it is paying members, we all can just meet up, and then we don't even need no more people because now we have a way to sustain the organization and a way to grow.
Okay, like that.
So those are the kinds of things that I'm thinking about. But
all those things I think are going to be the outcome from what we've been working on over, at least for this activity. And the challenge is
the things that I'm talking about are financial. These are business decisions, right?
Right.
So that's not right. So this is strategic business. This is not. So unless this is your forte, unless this is what you do, that's not going to be the outcome of this, because you got to sit there and we got to talk about distribution, we got to talk about revenue, we got to talk about money management. Those are not
that's not my forte, but to get there, there's still a hurdle we have to overcome, because you very accurately stated the issue being and it refers directly to one of the characteristics that a couple of people said, which was commitment, level of commitment, so that no matter what time of the year it is, that payment is still going to be made. That when the holidays come around, you're not going to lose over half of your membership, because that's a mindset issue. So we can't even get to that level of business that you're talking about without that foundational level of those characteristics.
Oh, okay. I get it. Well, I mean, these exercises here are, yes, these will bond us and show and do the thing. But I'm pragmatic.
And then I would say like what I'm getting, the strongest vibe I'm getting right now from the discussion that we've had with regard to the engagement series is our first goal should be how can we collectively strategize to quickly reach that membership number and feel secure in it. And so I know the talent is here, just like sister, I'm not sure, I can't remember who said that, but with all this intellectual brain power we have, we can definitely come up with an effective strategy on how not only to recruit but retain good, solid quality memberships and build them. And we don't have to wait the whole year to get it done. If we sit down, put our minds to it, look at these definitions that we are coming up with, focus on what's going to be our primary image, what's going to be our primary character combinations to draw from, and then strategize from.
Well, I'll tell you, we got people in the queue, but all right. So we're gonna go a little bit longer, because I'm glad you're saying that. Okay, so just all right. everyone on the call, Brother George just summarized essentially what we need to do, right? So we need to figure, we need to find more like-minded brothers and sisters, right? And I'm going to tell you this right now. It is not going to be the easiest thing to do in the world because you guys are special. I am telling you this right now because I speak to a lot of you guys one-on-one, and you're hard to find. You're quality people. And I'm talking about this. This is not black, white, nothing. I'm just talking about human, like you really decent quality people. And we know the vast majority of folks just they aren't decent. Black, white, whatever you want, whatever you want to call. Then the other thing is they're going to have vision. They're going to have to be able to see what the future can be. And so we have to paint the picture for them. And it's marketing. So that's marketing. And here's what I know about marketing. Because the target is so slim, right, there was no way for me to know your characteristics, Brother George. There's no way for me to know Sister Rhonda's characteristics and who she is and all of this stuff when I don't know. The only way that I know that we can reach a mass market of people is if we have some brochures or some flyers. The problem with that is brochures and flyers, right, because each person would have to literally give out like thousands a week or thousands a month. Mm-hmm. To try to find, I'm telling you, to literally find like one or two people. We've had a lot of people invite other brothers and sisters, invite their family members on calls, invite their cousins and things like that, and it's not for them. It's not for them. You understand what I'm saying? So you gotta. It's we're a very special breed, and maybe. So maybe I need to do a better picture of painting what the vision looks like, you know, in the future, right? Because it has a lot of these moving parts. And Sister Kim already said we're nerds, so we're assembling the parts for ourselves because it's complicated. It's a big problem. It's complicated. It's a 36-minute video. It originally started off as 2 hours. I had to cut it down in half, and then I had to cut it in half again because my thing was, if you're telling people you have a viable solution to all of these problems or to at least three of the major problems in the black community, how are you really summing that up in 5 minutes? Like, I can't even take you serious because it's going to take at least 5 minutes of facts and figures. Yeah. At least that's the way, to my mind, that's how it works. I want data. Tell me why I should believe what you're saying. What proof do you have? Because think about it. No one knows me. You guys don't know me. You don't know what I've done in my previous life. So the only thing that you can do is I say this, and then I have to back it up with data. I have to back it up with something absolute, something factual that you can go and validate for yourself. And so you can go, oh, okay, that makes sense. And see, to me, that's the only thing. Another thing, right, I'm a salesperson. And I can be charming and persuasive when I want to be. I do not try to sell this. I feel it's being disingenuous. I don't feel that we need to sell any other black person on the betterment or the improvement or whatever it is you want to call it of our people. I don't think that's something that should be sold. You. This should be something that it should have always been in you. You should have been trying to, you know, make changes or on your own journey in your own personal life. And then now this is something that that allows you to connect with a group of like-minded brothers, a group of like-minded brothers and sisters, or something to give you a little bit more structure and camaraderie and companionship on your journey. That's what this is. That's what this is, because that's what I've been trying to do this since 1986, and the people around me weren't serious. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna find my own serious people, and I found y'all. I was like, I'm gonna find my own serious people.
Well, I think that it's going to be done. I think that we have the people here to do it. I know that the answer is within this group to solving that membership problem. I know the answer is within these persons, these individuals on this telephone call. And if we
solve the membership problem. I gotta write that down. Or send me an email with that. Put that in your notes. I know you're taking notes. How do we solve the membership
problem? That's the first step. First foundation. And we as self-respecting members of Black Wallets Matter, if we can't get our membership goal, then what are we about? So we need to all take it personally that this is what we said we've committed to, and we all have to commit to getting it done. And we can do it through creativity, through strategy, and collaborative efforts. And the answer is within this group. There are some people, you know, for the last few weeks of doing this exercise, I've learned so many things that I never even knew from talking to everybody and listening to everybody. So there's answers here. There's solutions here. And it can be done. We've got to be willing to do something that we've never done before. And it's in this group.
Right. I think we need to really address that next week in earnest. I mean, we've been trying, but I got to give some caveats, right? So it's like we have to, the solutions have to be, right? So we can't say, all right, you know what, let's run some TV ads, right? Because we don't have the budget for that. If we say we're going to go and do flyers, right? So I know I used to run crews that give out flyers. I did a lot of guerrilla marketing. What happens is when you go and you print up and press up materials, this, that, and the third, usually the people don't distribute it effectively because that's not everyone's personality. But, you know, we'll go back to that because now we got quite a few people in the queue, and then I want to sum this up because I still got to get up in the morning. So, Brother Leon, is there anything you want to add in summary, brother? You done opened up a can of worms, brother.
Well, no, like, I just agree with the brother when he said that we have the power within the group in order to do it. So by just keeping the doors open, the conversation going, that it's going to happen. So like right now, that was a profound statement. He said we have the power within ourselves in order to do it. So knowing that, okay, that's it right there. So whatever come up, us being followers, whatever hit the flow, we agree with it and we follow that. Even if it don't make it, we try something else, but we follow leadership and we're going to get there. So I'm just appreciative again of being a part of
it. You know what I think? I think we can just all go and reach out to one person and be like, do me a
favor. That's it, brother.
Think, yeah,
that's it.
I think
That's it.
Do me a favor. And there you go. Because somebody owes everybody a favor. Do me a favor.
Yeah.
Just that and a third. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Because that will make our numbers double quick.
That's it.
And then
when
we got them, and then they go do a favor, and that'll get us right to where we need to be. All right. Thank you, Brother Leon, because the board done lit up. So we got Brother. All right. Cool. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir.
All right. Brother, wait a minute. What happened? Brother Ray. Hello? Brother Ray. I don't know what happened. Okay, we're going to go to Brother Leonard. Brother, yeah, is your phone? Can you talk? Hello? Yep, there you go.
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you, brother.
Okay, this is Ray from Philly.
Peace, brother.
Peace. Yeah, I've been a member for a few months. I've called in a couple times, just kind of listen, but I haven't really made too many comments. But what I would like to just mention in this time is that I think we need to document everything. I know that you have a lot of good ideas in your head. I have a lot of good ideas in my head. And a lot of our brothers and sisters online probably have a lot of good ideas in their heads. But if we don't document it, it's just going to stay in our heads. And you you made a good example when you said that we need to be able to pass things on to other people and make sure that we are sharing our ideas. But it needs to be documented. Everything needs to be documented. You need business plans. You need business models. Like, for instance, when you were talking about taking over corner stores and perhaps becoming a franchise, there's business plans for that. You have to build a business plan for that entire concept. How are you going to do it? How are you going to finance it? How you got to test that plan out before you spend money on it. You know, you got to kind of make a virtual idea of that business and take it as far as you can before you actually start spending money on it. So that way, when you do spend money on it, you actually know where you're going. You've done all the market research. You've done all the you've asked all the hard questions, and you've answered all those questions or to the best of your ability. You know, but we've got to document these things. We can't just have it all in our heads. You know, we all have entrepreneurial minds, but we need to have it on paper and document it. That's my main comment for this particular conversation.
Okay, so first of all, let me just say that thank you for coming to join us. In regards to the business advice that you just gave, that is very sound business advice. That's the same thing that I, you know, anytime anyone asks me in regards to doing business, I'm like, go out there and just start trying to sell. Go and just start trying to run the business, bootstrap it, do it as quickly, as fast as you can, you know, find out what you don't know and things like that. So, you know, that's great information that you're sharing. In terms of the documenting of what's going on this particular call, I don't know if you received the download, but this is this is an engagement series, and Brother George is there's a course, there's a whole syllabus like behind this. Mm-hmm. So what we're actually doing is structured. Now some of the other ideas, some of the comments and the freestyle ideas that are coming from the brothers and sisters that are contributing, these are people thinking on their feet, thinking on the fly, and all of these calls are recorded. So if you're saying, like, for your own edification, you want to be able to go back and see what's going on, or even when it's time for us to execute on something like that, then that information, I guess, it would be available to us in terms of I don't know when you came on a call, but in terms of like the model that I laid out with like the corner stores and doing all of that, though that is actually documented. That is already laid out. That's part of the blueprint. It's something that I actually cut out of the blueprint so that I could, you know, make it shorten. But it is laid out. It's available when we need it.
Yeah, I do have the download, and I do understand that this is a structured conversation and all that. I admit that I wasn't on this conversation last week. But my overall comment really is kind of more geared towards just Black Wallace Matter in general. Since the time that I've been a part of it, some of the conversations I've listened to, not just tonight, but through other throughout the time I've been a part. Each business idea that we come up with is going to have a what I call a living business plan, because you may have, like I think a brother mentioned earlier, you may have a blueprint, but you have to structure each situation to match what you're trying to do in that particular venture. So you have to, each venture has to have its own model.
Right, plan of execution. No, I get it. Right. I get it. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. We're saying the same thing. The essence of it is, you know, it's no need to start thinking about, you know, buying a grocery store or a trucking thing, you know, if you don't have any money. So that's kind of like where,
right.
So that's kind of like where.
What I'm saying, this is another thing I would like to add before I end it, is that one of the things that you can do with some of the money is structure before you actually start spending money on the business itself. Spend some money on writing a good, strong business plan, professionally written and structured out and completely researched business plan. You know, you sometimes have to spend money on that because we might not want to take the work and do all that work. And you even mentioned it yourself. This is not our area of expertise necessarily, so either we have to do the research and make it our area of expertise or pay someone who has that area of expertise. But one way or another, we have to have the proper documentation and the proper plan of action in place, which is fully informed and fully aware of the economic and all of the political and whatever other factors that could affect whatever you're trying to do. But that's, I think one of the things you can do with the money is to make sure that you have a plan laid out before you begin a venture. That's the only other thing I want to add.
Okay. Thank you, brother.
All right.
Okay, brother.
Let me say this one more thing, too. I have a business plan of my own, and you and I have talked about it one-on-one, but I haven't brought it to the group yet. But
that's not the basketball thing, right?
Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. Well, I mean, bro, that was a while ago. That was in the summer.
Yeah. but I've been a member ever since. I just haven't been.
Talking. I know you. I know. I remember we had the conversation. You was like, "Yo, wait a minute. Let me take care of business first, and then I'll call you." I remember we spoke. Then we spoke for a while.
Right.
I do. I recall. Yeah. I recall that. So. So I'm glad you. Okay, so do you remember the conversation we had about the business that you wanted to get off the ground?
Yeah.
Do you remember what I told you?
I'm pretty sure I did.
All right. So the information that I shared with you would give you way more information than any business plan or whatever. Because then you would have hard data. You would have data from, I believe you wanted to, it was things that you were going to sell in a package or something like that, right? And so I was like, well, do you know if the people want to buy the stuff that you have, that you're going to have in the packaging?
Well, that's,
and then
that's
I was
all,
like,
that's all in the biz. That's all in the market research. You do market research to find out whether or not your product can actually be sold and that people will actually buy your product. That's all part of marketing research, which is part of a business plan.
No, but remember what I told you. I was like, you don't need a business plan. Just go and get the stuff that you want and go try to sell it. Just go sell it. You don't need paperwork to see.
What I'm saying is, okay, you can go and start selling stuff, but
and then I will tell you if people are going to give you money for what you want, which is what a business plan. I don't want to get into a thing about like the business stuff on this call, but I have that. If you go into the members area, but you spoke with me at length in regards to business. But there's a call in the members area. It is called Black Wall Street Training. I think it's like number 2. Listen to that call, fast forward to the part where I talk about rapidly testing business ideas. So basically like you're saying, I've spent up to, you know, $3,500 on a business plan and all of that stuff. I had this idea to sell advertisement. It was called digital signage. I had wanted to put, you know, I wanted to put like these TV screens that showed ads. I wanted to put them all in different barbershops and beauty salons and all this different stuff. And I spent $3,500 to do that. And then you know what I could have did? I should have just went and brought the TV screen. Actually, I did. I went and brought the screen after, But you know what happened? Cell phones came out. Cell phones came out, and mobile ads came out, and that just totally killed my business. And if I would have just spent the $3,500 on a screen and put the screen in my own shop or put the screen in somebody else's shop, I would have been $3,500 richer, because the business plan I had was just telling me, oh, it's a great business, it's going to be great, it's going to be great. But what the business plan didn't tell me was the lady up the street with the beauty salon, she doesn't want me putting holes in her walls with a flat screen thing, and she's not going to show ads, and the guy with the cleaners is not going to buy ads on two screens, one in one barbershop and one in beauty salon and all of this stuff. And then it definitely didn't.
If I may add, another thing that your business plan didn't tell you was that about the phones and the new media that your business plan came up against, because you didn't have all the research in place that would have informed you of that. That's what you have to have. You know, you have to have complete market research. You have to know not just your product, but the entire market, everything that's going to affect your business in the market. So that's part of your market research that has to be done before you.
No, I know. It's called a SWOT analysis. I did have a SWOT analysis,
You missed a couple of things in it then, apparently.
We'll have this conversation. Yeah, we'll have this conversation, because I think you need to kind of like research how mobile ads popped on the scene, because mobile ads didn't come about like in a structured way. Mobile ads came on the scene kind of sort of like the same way that I'm telling you to go and do a business. Google and a couple of other people was like, I wonder if we can shrink these ads and put them on a phone. That's what they did, and they just started rolling them out to see if people would actually click on them. And when people start clicking on them, then they created a business. It made a whole big business. But we're not going to get into the whole thing, because we got a couple of people in the queue, and then we're going to go. But give me a call, brother, because I want to see how you're making out with the business idea that you have. Because if I'm not mistaken, it was also something like a community resource center. You wanted
to. Yes, it does.
Yeah. And so if you found another way, and you've made progress since we last spoke.
Well, in terms of the actual business, no, I haven't done anything since, you know, from that stage, because it's been kind of dormant, but. I'm about to make a move now, and I got the money to make that move. So I'm about to start making those moves. That's why, I guess maybe that's why I'm starting to speak up. But I'm about to make some moves right as we speak.
Okay, cool. Give me a call. Well, I'm kind of busy this week, but just send me an email, man, and I'll reach out, because I want to. Because if I remember that, it coincides with what the vision of this organization is, and we definitely need that.
All right, so now I reply to the email I got from Black Wallace Matter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Thank you, brother.
All right, you got it. All right.
Peace. So we got Brother Leonard and Sister Mind, and we're going to shut this down.
Yeah.
Brother Leonard.
Yes. First of all, let me tell you, I got a whole lot of respect for your commitment, and I say that to say right now I'm at home. I'm in Detroit, and so it's 11:30. We were downtown in Detroit and just looking at the whole area and what it looks like and how bad it is, and, you know, what we're doing is much needed. And you do have the best plan. But before I go into it, has everybody seen Black Panther yet?
No, I haven't. No,
you gotta see it. Don't go this weekend without seeing it.
No, my son is on punishment, man, so I can't see it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should check it out a couple of times. And I say that in terms of the collectivity that they have, and the respect that they have for the ancestors, and the ancestors are guiding them even to
today. But getting back on what we want to do, when you see how hard it is, and this program, Black Wallets Matter, it is so simple and so foolproof. It's like, why wouldn't a million people jump on this thing right away? And let's go back to every time you have a conversation, people want to find out he's got another motive. It must be a moneymaker for him. What angle is he coming at? But you said everything in the blueprint, okay? And even if you thought you had an angle, if you just pay $10 a month, you throw $10 away when you go to the movies, eating popcorn, you know, Red Vines. I mean, even if you go to the bar. I mean, there are so many reasons why we need to do this, but we'll find every excuse why not to. And it goes right back to the same thing I said before. When you don't have a culture of collectivity, and that does stem from slavery, and we understand that, so I'm not going to keep regurgitating that. But what I will also say, we have to have patience. And there's other organizations that are doing not necessarily the same thing, but they have the same commitment and passion about helping our people. And that has to be the main thing, is you have to have passion for our present condition, and you have to be able to see what legacy and future are we leaving for our kids. And once we understand that, then you'll see people wanting to join, okay? But now ask yourself, why does everybody always want a second guess? Where is the trust? Why is that such an issue with the trust? And there's something there to be said about that. And many times, less is better. So as a couple of members have mentioned, the answer is among us. All we have to do is just ask the questions. Brother George and the exercises that he's putting together, those will work itself out, and then we'll start to shape what we want our members to have, because we shouldn't have to go through this all the time, because it kind of made me think twice when you said two members left. I'm like, why would somebody leave? But, you know, different people have different reasons why. But we have to continue to get stronger and stronger. So I just want to encourage everybody to continue to have patience, but also take this into consideration. We almost have to do a documentary of what the future is going to look like if we don't start to make these things happen.
You always say that, bro, and we need that, man. Yes, I agree. Yeah, we do. We need to show people, got to scare them, more or less. We need to let them see this is what's going to happen if we don't start getting ourselves in gear. You're 100% right. See, right. But you know what, man? I think we're so apathetic at this point. I think you're going to look at it and be like, ugh. So I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. Because think about it. Like just think about like the police brutality thing. That's what really flipped me over. That's what really, right. that was my switch. I was like, yo, you got to be kidding me. I was like, yo, they just chilling everybody and like nothing is happening, nothing? I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Let me give you a clinical category on that. I've mentioned it several sessions back, and one of the members had caught on to it. But the term that is really affecting a great majority of our community is a term called learned helplessness. And that is a valid clinical term, and it can happen to anybody. It can happen to race. It can happen to gender. It can happen to any type of group that is repeatedly and systemically oppressed.
Yeah.
And over after enough of that treatment, you start to internalize that and believe what the oppressor wants you to believe, to the point where he no longer has to physically oppress you, because you are now automatically oppressing yourself. by the way that you think. And so many of us, and it doesn't matter if we got degrees, it doesn't matter if you're six figures, it doesn't matter what level of the game you're at.
Right.
You're gonna always think of yourself one notch or two notches lower than your cultural competitor, because that's been generationally ingrained in our history and in our experiences, to the point now where you have young people today that don't even know who Martin Luther King is, Malcolm X is, but are still exhibiting the same defeatist behaviors, and they don't even know who they are in the history.
Right.
So it's not so much that they're apathetic or it's not a character trait. It's a mindset.
Right, right. But you know, but if you study other cultures, you'll see they don't have this issue, and they each all have mindsets, but their cultural collectivity is something that was ingrained from them from birth. Like, for example, if you want to get someone to work on your house for cheap and do a decent job, you hear people say, go get yourself a Mexican, okay? Now, that's not funny, but people do think like that. They typically, in their culture, they have two jobs. One job is to take care of them here. The second job is to send money home to their family. They do that religiously. If you study the Philippines,
$25 billion a year. $25 billion a year they send back.
They send back home. And they don't think twice, and they don't argue, because they have a cultural collectivity. The Filipinos, it's always a hurricane in the Philippines. But I know Filipino families, they will do fundraisers, they will all collect clothes, and they will all send clothes back to their people. They don't think twice. You cannot name 35 African-American boys that work two jobs, and one job is to take care of where they live, and they send the money home to their parents. You don't know 35 of them.
I don't know five.
I know. I'm just running the dozens right now. I'm just having some fun. Like Mike said, let's have some fun. So when you see the difference there and know that we're the mother of all races, okay, this doesn't make sense. So then you start to see, okay, they took the culture from us. What we're trying to do is reestablish that, and we're getting resistance, because it's just like feeding a baby that doesn't want to eat. They're going to turn their head, or the old saying is, you can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink.
Right.
Or another way of looking at it, you can take a person out of the ghetto, but you can't take the ghetto out of the person. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we're going in the right direction. And as Lou has mentioned, and George yourself, there are some heavy, heavy people on this team.
Yeah. Yes.
And we just don't need to keep regurgitating why we don't trust. We have to understand.
Thank you.
We don't have a cultural collectivity, but we're going to build one. And we're just going to be steadfast.
That's it.
That's all I got.
Thank you so much. All right. And I think Sister Mai, and then we are going to be done. Hold on. Let's see. Okay, well, then we got Sister Mai, then Brother Cujo. Sister?
Okay, hi. Can you hear me now?
Yep. You got a lot of noise in the background, though.
Okay. Okay, thanks. So there's been so much said. I kind of forgot. I got in the queue a long time ago, but it was something you said I wanted to respond to. I think, I wanted to clarify at first what you were saying about recruitment. I thought I heard something similar to an assignment, like we were all supposed to recruit one member. Was that a week, a month, a quarter? I mean, was it even an assignment or a directive? Like, what was that comment I wanted to make?
Well, I didn't, but I guess maybe in a month. And essentially it was just...
Sister,
you're. I know you're an overachiever. You've probably been recruited about 11 different people already. But what I'm saying is, every single person
has a person who they can say to, listen, just do me a favor. Just do me this favor, and boom. Like, yeah, don't worry about, like, I mean, so obviously it has to be someone who kind of sort of cares about what's going on, but it has to be someone that you kind of, like, that you have, like, that influence with, or someone who like, trusts you implicitly or whatever it is, because that is how, like, if we could, so, like, that would put our numbers back where we need. Maybe if we could get those people to do it, then we can just, like, double really, really quick. Those, like, that, those kinds of leaps and bounds would really, really get us where we need to be, at least to the point where then I can start finding out from people who wants to, like, actively recruit, right? So, like I said, I've done grassroots guerrilla marketing, like, pretty much all my life. That's how I bootstrapped a lot of businesses. But I know that some people, they'll say, yeah, send me some flyers, do this, that, that. So we spend the money, we print up the flyers, then we ship them to the person, and then they never distribute them, right? Mm-hmm. So we get the flyers, and then they sit on, like, the kitchen table or the counter or some corner of their house or something like that. And I don't want that to happen because that's just waste.
Right. Okay, so I don't think that's – I mean, I think flyers are good for specific events that someone knows that they're going to where there's going to be a lot of people that they feel they can recruit because the meeting they're going to – you know, the values somewhat align with our values, but as opposed to just printing them and mass handing them out, I don't think that's a good idea, especially because of the nature of our call and how we do want to target people, you know, like-minded people specifically are the only people we want, you know, to join. And a lot of them just end up on the ground, you know, when you're just mass, you know, passing out flyers, they just end up, and so they can end up in anybody's hands and most likely the people that we don't want. You know, anyway, so I think advertising on platforms that are already established, like, you know, the Facebook platforms where there are so many right now, you know, Shop Black and Promote Within and Black Spending Matters and, you know, those that have over 10,000 members each. And the whole idea is for you to get on there and advertise your stuff. You're not frowned upon. That's what they're there for, so that people know about you and know what's going on and know about your, you know, for the most part, they're selling portals. People are trying to sell their stuff, and there's some real, I've purchased a lot from those sites. There's really, really quality businesses on those sites. But, you know, we could also advertise Black Lives Matter on there and just get it in a constant rotation where people are constantly looking, and then you can get them to look at the blueprint that way. That's just, and it doesn't cost you anything but a little bit of time. So I just think, you know, more effective target marketing like that would be a better recruitment tool than flyers. And then I also wanted to just piggyback on what everybody was saying about what we have or what we need is already in the group. There's a sermon I heard a long time ago by Bishop T.D. Jakes, and the sermon was entitled Everything You Need Is Under the House. And as he, you know, went on to explain it, he was saying basically, you know, God gives you everything that you need, and often you just have to peel back the layers and you got to dig deep. And I think that that is true for our organization. I feel like, you know, if we just dig deep, that everything we do need is here. And I think digging deep means even our personal reflection, which is a lot of what Brother George is doing with the psychology piece. But I think that we should be not just, I think almost everybody said one of the characteristics they'd like to see is that we all listen to each other, respect each other, hear each other out, and have an open mind. But I think in addition to that, it should also be we should feel like we have a platform to be not only tolerated but celebrated and shown, feel like we have we're encouraged to shine. Basically, so that people can really, like I said, dig deep, really see who they are and how much they can offer. And I think there's a lot more than maybe some of us even realize right now that we can offer. Like one of the sisters said, we all have our own, you know, unique gifts and talents. If we can somehow all, like the brother, I think it's Vaughn, you know, did his poetry, that's inspiring. I think, you know, we all do have something that we can contribute. And I think if we just peel back all the layers, we'll see just how much, you know, how many precious jewels we really have under the house, you know, or in this house. And we can really, like I said, the more we're encouraged to blossom and to grow, personally, we can also, that's, I think, only that much stronger and that much better and faster our organization will grow as well.
That's it. So two things. To your last point, the growing, you know, becoming the best you, having a platform to share, those are one of the characteristics or the qualities that are when we have our Thursday calls. Those are one of the qualities that I list during those calls. Whenever I say that, like you want to fully blossom and grow and become the best you that you want, we invariably lose like 2 or 3 callers. I'm serious. It's crazy because and that's a mindset, right? So we need people who have like a growth mindset. We need people who are actually on a journey for self-discovery and self-improvement. And that's really not, and that's just not prevalent. And yeah. The other thing though, right? So now we're sitting here and we're talking about like the marketing and do this. So just understand that, you know, we're not sitting on our laurels and doing nothing, right? So, the money that's coming in now, that's what we're doing. We're spending it on marketing. We're spending it on ads. We have some new campaigns. We have some new campaigns that I launched a couple of weeks ago, and in terms of exposure, getting to people, in terms of us building the email list and doing the things, it's kicking ass. So don't think, you know, so we're not, you know, so I know we're sitting here and we're saying, okay, cool, we need more. But the wheels are still cranking. But what I did, though, I kind of like try to separate the people so that we don't have – so we got a lot of people who were like, hey, listen, I'm interested in business or whatever it is. They kind of like come up with like their own ideas of what they think Black Wallets Matter means. You can read it on our Facebook page. People are saying on the page, this page is supposed to be such and such, such and such. What do you know? How do you know what the page is supposed to be? But I laugh. I find it comical. But the thing is, so what I'm doing is though I'm splitting the people up though, right? So we have a bunch of people who are interested in personal finance, and you know, and that's like, you know, getting their own money together, their own budget, and you know, all of this stuff. That list has become our second biggest list, right? So because I've been talking to the people that we've been speaking to, that came in, I'm interfacing with them. There really are a lot of brothers and sisters who just don't have it, like they just don't have the money. And so there's a few members that I know who have fallen on hard times. They were platinum members. They were champions, they were supporters, but they fell on personal hard times, and I fully understood, and I even offered to send some money to them personally, like, hey, yo, because they were strong believers in what we're about, but you know, life happens, and so I don't want to discount that. But the what was the other point? Well, yeah, those are the two points. Yeah, those are the two points that I wanted to address. So, yes, you are on point.
Speaking of what, I just read this really, just real quick, disturbing, I guess as a fact, it was, you know, printed, quoted that in 2016, 1 out of every 5 Black people, and I think it was Black men, but this is a Black person, I believe, made 0 income for the entire year of 2016. 1 out of every 5 Black person had 0 income for the year 2016. That is so disturbing to me, and just I can't even really fathom or wrap my brain around that. But when you said that, you just reminded me of that. That's how, I mean, we are in dire straits. This is crazy. Like, we really need to save ourselves. And then, you know, when you say though, in order to do that, it takes money. You know, I can see how people who just don't have it are like, I'm already struggling. I don't have money. And you're going to tell me in order to help myself, I got to pay every month. I mean, so I think that, you know, in the future, maybe that's something we need to figure out.
I'm already on it. Now you're usually really attentive. But I'm already on it. Those are the things.
I'm trying.
I've said it. I said at the beginning of this year. At the beginning of this year, I was like, okay, listen, I know what I got to do. I got to get the Black Wall Street Project up, and I got to get this going because those are the things that they're. So we're having these calls, and we're still right. We're still working on the things that are going for Black Wall Street Matter, but I already know what has to be done. We have all these people. I speak with those people. I interact with them. I survey them. I do all different types of things to gather data so I can figure out what's going on. Because although they're saying, you know, I don't have any money, like Brother Leonard said, they still will go to the club and still buy drinks.
Right.
And, you know,
right.
Whatever. So we have to put something that's more pressing. Or something that's more tangible or more desirable or whatever it is, we have to put something like that in front of them, and then they'll gravitate towards that, and then that will essentially be the way how this organization is able to, you know, to propel and move forward. That is the underlying premise of this entire organization. If you go and you watch the blueprint, it is for people to do what they have been doing already. It's not really, so we're saying like the mindset and, you know, all of this. I personally don't think we're going to be able to change that many mindsets. I don't even believe in that, because that's how all the other things have failed in the past. Now, we need 2,000 like-minded brothers and sisters, but for everybody else, no, go ahead, keep doing what you're doing, and we're going to figure out a way where you can keep doing what you're doing and still wind up benefiting yourself or benefiting the community. Because the Arabs and the Asians, think about it. It wasn't rocket science. They came into our community. They didn't make any announcements. They didn't send out any emails, any memos. They didn't post on social media. They just put stuff in front of us that we want. They put hair and they put stuff at a corner store. And we just go. And we know it's hurting us and we can't stop. Because they know they got us boxed in. We got to do the same thing. We have to do the same thing. We have to be in essential areas of the economy. That's what it is. We have to be in need. Right. And once we're able to get there, then everything else, we're going to grow on autopilot. It's all going to be on autopilot. So for anyone who's not completely clear about what our mission, what we're doing, we're trying to be integrated into things that people are already doing. We're not trying to twist their arm. We just need 2,000 people. We got to get the 2,000 people so that we can build something meaningful. Once we have the 2,000 people, then we can carry on with our plan, because otherwise it's going to be hard. And I'm still trying to figure out a way to get there. So we got Brother Cujo in the queue, sister, and then we got to get out of here because it's 12 o'clock. It is way past my bedtime. Thank you so much, sister. Okay. Brother Cujo. Lay it on the line, brother. Lay it on the line.
Real quick, I just want to encourage everybody to not hide this. Don't hide it. The Black Wallets Matter organization, the direction that we're going in, let it sink into your heart. Let it sink into your mind. Let it be a part of your regular conversation. I think that the Black Panther movie, it shows that people are willing to be inspired. And they'll pay for that. I think people of our culture want to see ourselves in a higher light. We want to see a good representation of our culture. And everybody who's a member already knows and has, I would assume, has a vision of what we can accomplish and what we will accomplish in the future through persistence and just staying the course and making this plan come to fruition. Because the reality is, this will completely change. This has the potential to completely change the way that Black people live in America. by following this, we don't have that divide anymore. More importantly than the social equality, we'll be providing for ourselves economic stability.
Right.
And we'd be essentially making our life what it is as a culture and a society that we live in. I'm confident that virtually everybody, all of the people of our culture, want to see that happen. So, to a degree,
You mean us on the call? Or you talking about just black folks in general?
I mean black folks in general.
Okay.
I think that people want to see that happen. It's just that in a lot of people's mind, it seems a little bit far-fetched. But with like the group of people that's on the call and people that tend to be a part of this organization tend to be the people who have the ability or at least the potential to inspire others. So when we're able to talk about what we're doing passionately, it's going to inspire people. I mean, I do it all the time.
Well, let me support that by saying, for the people on the call, we have to build. So it's one thing to inspire, but it's another thing to have for the proof to be in the pudding. And I just noticed how many people have been talking about the Black Panther movie and, you know, all of this stuff and how it makes you feel and how everyone was able to go out and support. But I just want to say, look at how it was done. It was a concrete vehicle for people, for you to say, you know what? I want to get behind, you know, the spirit of black empowerment. And there was a system, right? You go to the movie, you pay your money, and you watch the movie, and then you get the feeling. So you got the experience of going to the movie, and they have the system. They have the movie theaters. They have the distribution. They have that. That's essentially what we have to do, y'all. We have to create the infrastructure, the system, the behind-the-scenes structure, so that way when we go and we inspire our people, they have a very clear, direct path how to support. Put your money in, get your experience out. Right. I say this, I've been saying this on our last couple of recruitment calls. I don't know how many ways to say this, and if you don't understand this, I keep reiterating it. We need a system for people to support. It needs to be clear.
Right.
I do this, I get this. Because that's what our people are used to, transactions. We're used to transactions. So yeah. I want to feel inspired. I want to support. I put my money in. I get this experience. I see this result. We have to deliver the result. But we can't do it with, you know, 444 people and half of that, and you know, we can't do it. We can't. What the result are we going to deliver? So we were trying to deliver something digitally. Our people don't really have those kinds of connections with digital things like that. Our people are used to stuff. So that's why we want to get the shopping portal, because they go, they put their money into the shopping portal, and then stuff comes to their house. That's what they're used to. If we have to figure out something else, then we do that. The community resource center, they go, they put their money in, they send their kid, the kid comes out with stuff. They go into the community resource center. They come out with stuff. That's what I mean by the system. The system is there for when the people decide to support. We're going to get overwhelming support. When we build this first system, the celebrities are going to start supporting. That's why our celebrities don't support us like overwhelmingly in ways, because there's no system. There's no way for them to put their money in and see things happen. Usually what they got to do is put the money together, and then they got to kind of like wish and hope and wait and see. Or they can usually put it into somebody else's organization that don't even care about our people, because those people already set up a system to show them stuff for their money. We have to build some stuff. We got to give people some stuff. Sorry, Brother Cujo.
Oh, that's all good. Yeah, definitely. That's the focus.
Yeah.
I just wanted to add that.
Okay. Thank you so much, brother.
My pleasure.
Okay. And so, oh, man, brothers and sisters, you know what? This call kind of went by real cool, really long, too. Yeah. Brother George, thank you for your engaging line of questions and, you know, and your graciousness and your calm psychiatric demeanor, because I think the way that you do things, you pull out the best and the most out of us. So I want to thank you for being a master manipulator. It is 12 o'clock on the dot, Eastern Standard Time, brothers and sisters. We are going to conclude this call. I want to thank everyone for coming to hang out with us tonight. And so we will pick back up next week. I'm really loving this engagement series. So good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Good night,
everybody.
Good night,
good night,
good night,
good night. Good night. Master manipulators.
Good night, folks.
Good night.